The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and defensive mimes.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
State of war would exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
And good evening. Welcome to Walk in the Black Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM, episode 293. On tonight's show, Richard has his own mic. What's it like in JB's world? Hey, Mr. President, Richard's cloning a dog, and Darth Vader, Welsh style. All that and a backing track of jazz. A Walk in the Black Forest, more entry wounds than someone just back from a tour of duty in Iraq, and I'm not talking Tanya Zayeta.
It's Walk Back Forest, 88.5 FM, show number 293.
It's a good time in the world, you know, because if you're going to write a song about drug taking and drug rehabilitation and all that sort of stuff, and then you actually get filmed smoking crack, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, and then you're given an award for said song as well, the police then turn around and say, oh, okay, it was probably research for the song.
Of course,
We're not going to take it.
Now, I understand that next week we're actually going to have the Belangolo Forest Killer releasing a single called I Killed Them All, Geez, It Was Fun.
Exactly right.
Yes. And justifying it as research for his prison sentence.
And then he's going to win an ARIA award because...
Well, they're not hard to get.
They're not that hard to get. Yeah. Hell, Cool C got four.
Ooh, harsh.
So... You know, they're not that hard to get. He's going to win ARIA, and he's going to be out. No more Goulburn Supermax.
Oh,
hello. Beautiful Potts Point apartment.
Who are those guys who won the...
We're in a holiday home down there at...
Darling Bay.
Yeah, that's one.
Who are those guys who won that ARIA and threw it in the harbour?
Wasn't that the Cruel Sea?
No, it was...
Fronte?
With a chick out front.
Fronte?
No, one of those weird
Divinals.
Bands you went into.
I don't know.
Frente.
The Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah, the Wiggles.
The Wiggles.
And there's a girl at the front.
Exactly.
Some indie band.
Don't call Dorothy Dinosaur Girl.
Well, she is.
No, she's Dinosaur Dude.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Anyway, this is Walking by Forest, 88.5 FM.
Can I just say that all those people who came to my show, my final show, the other week there, not this show, but the other show that I do, if you'd done that and got in and seen the show and then heard at the end... The announcement that we were then moving on to another place to do other certain things, and then you decided to join in with the cast in doing that and came with us and then stayed for about half an hour with us at that point, you would have been able to hang out with a Wiggle.
Yeah, there was a Wiggle there, was there?
There was a Wiggle there.
Wow.
Only if he did all those things and came to that particular place that we went, because he happened to be there.
Did he wiggle along?
No, but he had three women with him, and I'm sure he was entertaining. Wiggling.
See,
I assume this wasn't one of the married ones then.
I don't know.
See, I saw a wiggle at a pub in the inner city. Right.
It might have been the same wiggler.
Might have been the same wiggler. No, he was hanging around, having his dinner, throwing back a schooner. And there was kids everywhere. Like, the pub has a really common, like, kid, like, yeah. playground and stuff in the back, so it's a family-friendly pub. He was there for about an hour before one little child went up to him and just stood there. Didn't say a word, just stood in front of him, just looked at him and just went, and then eventually all the kids found that it was the blank, insert blank coloured, pop filter coloured wiggle. There. And then he could not stop walking around having to go wiggle 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 wiggle, and so his food went cold, his beer went flat. That's the price of fame, mother. Yeah,
well, the fact he's a billionaire probably doesn't really matter.
No, he would be a billionaire these days, wouldn't he?
Yes.
Now, I just want to add,
but
to
it's not much that it's what he's done for the youth of this nation, and I think that is an excellent thing.
And
should be rewarded.
I was going to say, and also for our balance of trade. Exactly.
And you know the scary thing is?
Yep.
In about 3 years, I'm going to know all the freaking songs.
I bet you are.
3 years?
Try
a year and a half.
Now, I want to add something to the show today, because there's something I wanted to talk about. I want to bring in, I don't know, anyone in this show ever met Hino?
Yes.
Do you remember Hino?
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure I saw him hanging around outside of school once.
Quite possibly. Now, for those of you who don't know who Hino is, I'm going to put him up here, because he's really my god. Hino...
I don't know why.
Because he's a classy man. Hino is the, if you want to put him in, the German Barry Crocker is probably the equivalent. German Kamal.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Now, the reason I brought Hino in today is I'd forgotten, I actually haven't told the story of the fact that I went and... Hino has his own cafe in Bad Münsterreifel in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Hino's cafe. Now, what's quite interesting about Hino's cafe...
Bad
Münsterreifel.
Does that mean what it sounds like?
That it's a bad, bad TV show's rifle? Yes. Yes, it is. The Munsters.
They're not called the Munsters.
I thought it would mean, you know, just a big gun.
I don't know. I think rifle means something else in German.
Ein Munsterreifel.
Sounds like some kind of weird experiment.
Something you
rifle. Like an elephant gun or something.
Possibly. I don't know. It's a very small town. That's all I know. And it took me an hour and a half to get there.
Wow. That's
from
a long time.
From Cologne.
Well, you shouldn't have walked.
Yeah.
No, well, that is the problem with Cologne.
You know what they say about Cologne? You can smell it from a mile off.
I know you can. Yeah. And you know the 4711 factory is still there?
Really?
Do you remember 4711?
I do know 4711.
What's 4711?
That's the original Cologne.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it was sort of in Australia. It was the sort of thing that every granny had in there.
Yep.
In their drawer, top
still
drawer.
Still very popular, you know.
What, 4711? Yeah. Where do you buy it?
Amongst the older ladies.
Target?
No, I think all those
Kmart?
Little perfume shoppy places. No, it's hard to get, but those perfume shoppy places have
Because they're probably one of those 80% off ones. How do they work? How do they... 80% off perfumes?
They buy stock that the manufacturers don't release to the mainstream. So what they do is they go, oh, this is, you know, samples, or this is stock that maybe isn't as good as it could be, and they sell it off and buy it, even though technically... they're not supposed to.
Ah, so they're sort of like the testers and...
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
But it's not the real thing, is what you're
it
saying.
It is the real thing.
It is good quality?
It may not just not be as good quality.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Mm. Or it might be old.
Or it might be old,
in
exactly.
Which case it loses its potency.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Sure.
See, the one that I wear, which is called Chick-Pul-Wa...
Yeah, yeah.
That
Thai. It's a Thai one.
It's a Thai one.
Nice.
The problem I have with that one is if
it doesn't.
It doesn't. It never has.
The interesting thing is...
But funnily enough, when I walk up and down, no.
The thing is, I also wear the same cologne, but it's called Shemale Chikwara. I don't know why. I don't know.
How does it work for you?
Uncomfortably.
So hurry up and tell us a story about the monster rifle.
About the monster fucking rifle.
Yeah, bad monster rifle.
So I was in Bad Münsterreifel going to Hino's Cafe. It's a tiny little cafe. You know, it looks a bit like a Sizzler in Campbelltown. You know, that sort of look, you know, like almost like bad 80s colour. Bit like this desk, actually.
Like it used to be in Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's the one.
Right.
So you go out there, you order whatever you feel like eating, and, of course, the main things that are on the menu are Hino's own produced foods. He actually has his own soup, mm-hmm. His own panokeken, and
his own what?
Panokeken.
What's a panokeken?
You made that up. German for pancake.
All right. Couldn't have guessed that.
And... he has his own, and my personal favourite, his favourite is the Hazelnutten Tort, where you actually get to eat Heino. The entire top face of the tort is Heino's Heino's face in powdered cinnamon.
Oh, thank God.
And then there's a little chocolate with Heino's face on it.
Right, I thought that he might have added to the mixture.
No, and then, of course, there's the fan shop next door. You can buy a whole range of Heino merchandise, Heino perfume, 4711. You can buy Heino T-shirts, Heino mugs, whatever you like.
So, if you want to pass that to me,
yeah,
maybe we should hear a Heino track. There's a particular Heino track on here you'd like to hear.
Not really, no. It's all shit.
Can I? Okay, you finish your story.
Yeah,
before I can. This is a. I mean, you've been mentioning this guy for how long now?
12 years.
Way too long.
Yep.
Can I just say that he does not live up to the cred that he's given?
No, not at all.
Not even as a bad thing.
I know. It's just.
I don't know why people keep mentioning it. Well, I was going to say you, but that would be rude.
So we're going to hear a little bit.
I mean, there's about a million other guys who have done similar sorts of things, but we never hear about him.
I know,
so why has he suddenly got this?
After we hear a little bit, because I need to stop talking so that I can edit this bit out.
Okay, yeah, good.
So we're going to hear a little bit for our terrestrial listeners.
Yes.
For our pop, our pod listeners.
You're not going to hear Jack.
You're not going to hear Jack, but just imagine you're hearing a German guy sing badly. This is Heino, terrestrial people.
Ist drum, Karamba, ei, Herz, das ist drum, Karamba. In einer Bar in Mexiko.
And now some exclusive content for our terrestrial listeners.
Yes, well, I did say I'm going to do the intro, but...
Oh, you didn't. All you just said is... We could talk over this.
Yeah, the irony of this part of the segment is that only people who are listening to this live,
yes,
our terrestrial listeners, will hear this bit,
yep,
but it's the most restrictive bit.
Yes.
For example, because in the podcast, I have no problem saying, you fucking dickhead. Whereas I can't do that on the terrestrial version.
You're right.
And the problem is their podcast listeners aren't going to hear you fucking dickhead.
Exactly.
Only our terrestrial people are, yep, and that's going to have to be fucking edited fucking out. Fucking. One...
And you noticed he was first.
Did we explain why? That we can't put this on the podcast?
We should explain why to our terrestrial listeners. Of course, our podcast has to be music free because we don't own, we actually don't have a license to play any of this outside of the Ryde and Hunters Hill area.
Now, interestingly enough.
So if you live in outside the Ryde and Hunters Hill area, turn off your f***ing radio!
Now, the interesting thing is, this isn't actually classified as music, so he could technically get away with it.
That's very true.
How long has he been dead for?
He's alive!
Oh, damn it.
Still, yeah. Silly. I got to meet him. That was the part of the story. But we'll hold that back for the pod listeners.
What we should do for our special terrestrial listeners, we should insert a special word that we keep coming back to later in the show that the podcast has no idea of.
Ah, and fuck.
No. That special word is...
Heino.
T-chest?
T-chest.
T-chest.
Okay,
remember,
so
T-chest.
So what we do then...
Whenever you hear the word T-chest...
Everyone laugh. You laugh at home. Just laugh at home.
Laugh at home.
Just laugh at home.
It's
gonna be funny.
I'm impressed. Okay. Should we go back to the song?
Yeah, let's go back to the song, and then we'll come back for everybody.
Oh, you know what I like about this show?
What?
It doesn't give a shat about anything.
No.
I was going to say it's inclusive, but I'm wrong.
Just turn the thing down.
I was doing it on purpose.
Oh, I see. It was artistic.
Yes.
There's something to be said about not talking over something that's utterly crap.
Yes, there is. That was
and that thing that needs to be said is why.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, we should point out for our terrestrial listeners, of course, you knew what we were saying. For our pod listeners, that was Heino. And
yes.
And he is considered to be, for some strange reason, the focal point of Schlager around the world. Now, why he's actually the reason he actually became quite famous was he was written about by Jello Biafra in one of his incredibly strange music books. And Jello tells this really funny story that he went to go and see Heino in Germany because he just thought, oh, I've got to see Heino. He's written about him, he thinks he's great, thinks he's creepy, all this sort of stuff. So you can imagine, he's in a German town surrounded by sort of 60-year-old Germans wearing their hats and their, you know, braces and
mm-hmm.
no comment. Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Little red armbands.
So they're sitting there.
Little brown shorts.
And then there's the dead Kennedys in the front row in their full punk regalia that the dead Kennedys wore in sort of 1981, 82.
Yeah, yeah.
And Heino freaked out because it's just made no sense to him. Why are these sort of 60-year-old Germans going, yah, 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 and then there's these punk guys sitting in the front? And Jello ended up, got all his albums signed, he's a mate with him now. That's how he got his cred.
So is this when the DKs were together?
Yeah, when the DKs were together. So he's always been into German music.
But just because, you know, Jello Biafra says he likes him. I mean, Jello Biafra likes a lot of things that I don't necessarily like.
But I think it brought it to that public sphere.
Kiss My Poodle's Donkey, it's a great name. Not a good band.
No, that's very true. That's very true. But when he joins with Ken Steadman and makes Krent, decent band.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
There you go, see.
Can I just say, while you're listening at home, and you might happen to be near the internet, if you are, look this up. This is the Hino, H-E-I-N-O, album. How do you say that?
In Ina Bar in Mexico.
Right, which I believe is in a bar in Mexico.
I believe that would be correct. Jim, it's such a tough language. I'm glad you understand, Jim. It's a tough language.
In fact, most of the songs, the last word is understandable. It's fine.
It's Wasser. Von den Bergen rauscht ein Wasser.
Go from the bottom.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, if you do happen to look this album up, have a look at the front cover. He actually looks like a refugee out of either a Doctor Who episode.
No, Space 1999. I reckon he's from Space 1999.
Or UFO.
Yes, UFO.
It's UFO.
He looks like a Gerry Anderson puppet.
He does.
In fact, I believe he's
Captain Scarlet.
I think he was in UFO, actually.
Wouldn't be surprised. He does look like the guy from UFO. You're right.
Could actually, you know, I believe that the entire series of Roswell, remember Roswell about the aliens coming to America? The entire end of Roswell, they actually found out that Hino was the Grey they've been looking for the entire series.
There you go.
That's the whole thing wrapped up. They had to go to Germany.
Although I haven't seen the series, know nothing about it, I actually understood the jokes.
Yeah, I got it
too. About the TV show, you don't have to watch it.
No.
To know what it was about.
Isn't that make what makes a great American television show?
Yes.
You don't actually have to watch it.
No, you don't. You just know.
It's like
that stupid Earl thing.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, isn't that just not
I thought you guys would love that.
I love that guy. It's just a shit show.
It's a terrible show.
It's so bad.
It's awful.
It's almost
awful.
As bad as that stupid Raymond show, which is our highest rating comedy.
No. Let's just go. I'm sorry. Let's just go back a few steps. Everybody Loves Raymond is a pox on humanity.
It's an awful show.
It says something when those two comedies are the highest rating comedies in this country.
Well, then before that there was Friends, which I never understood.
No, see, I like Friends.
I don't get Friends. It just seems to be
a bunch of rich, middle class white people acting
like a bunch of whiny bitches.
No, it's really
about whether they're going to be drinking expensive champagne 1 or expensive champagne 2 in their New York loft apartments.
And how is this different from wondering which cafe you're going to go to in Cologne or Holland?
Yeah,
or exactly.
You know what it is? I'm a whiny bitch who's living it.
So before we go into our, you're about to play a track, weren't you? That piece of vinyl there, Pete, is probably something you'd probably just want to file away in your tea chest somewhere.
Yeah, I would believe you'd file away in your tea chest, yes.
A Walk in the Black Forest.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Walk in the Black Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM, and
just a short thing.
Well, you've had those.
I told you not to talk about me on air.
But enough of John Howard.
You heard his house got broken into?
Good.
Oh, damn.
Oops. Never mind. Couldn't have happened to
a nicer
guy.
That's one less piece of material.
Yep.
Now,
tick that one off.
The media in Australia have amazing perception.
They do.
They're able to pick up the smallest story and run with it.
They do.
Bringing us the news that we would not know without their diligence.
They do.
Ray Martin is really the Athena Starwoman of news.
He is.
Wow, whatever happened to Athena Starwoman?
She died.
Did she?
Yeah, she had it. She was on a. She
didn't predict that.
No.
Actually.
I'll leave that alone. I think that's the end of that line, really. Could go further, but I won't.
All right. Now, the media has brought to us this week a tale of excess, a tale of disgusting governmental wastage of money. Governmental and wastage should not be in the same sentence, but never mind. Apparently, New South Wales Fair Trading Minister Linda Burney, at taxpayers' expense, has been overseas.
Yes, she has. It's disgusting.
Now,
it's disgusting.
You know what else is disgusting? You know where she's been?
Where?
Yes.
Cannes.
I know.
She's been watching movies at our expense. The amazing thing about this is,
she even walked past a tea chest at one point.
She did.
It's amazing.
And a cold shower.
Now, apparently, it's been the opposition in New South Wales are saying it's a junket.
Yes,
which of course is a milky dessert.
It is that you'd keep in a fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the media story...
It goes sort of like hard and jellified.
Yes, because it has gelatin in it.
I believe so.
Now, the two-thirds of the story...
Cow hoof, I believe, is that correct?
Gelatin? Yes, that's right. Two-thirds of the story are about how it's a waste of money, how Barry O'Farrell says it's terrible, how it's this, how it's that. Oh, it's horrible. Oh, what a big story. Massive headline on the front page of the Telegraph.
And she should be here, of course.
Because and she should be here.
There was a collapse of a housing company.
Australian shirking. Yes. Now, what actually happened was, what the media aren't saying
is... I bet she was shirking.
I heard she might have been shirking.
She wasn't the only one shirking. So was the Telegraph.
Yes.
Because what she was actually doing was representing the Arts Minister, Frank Sartor, and presenting the Sydney Film Prize at Cannes.
Nice.
Yes, but why her? That's the problem.
Because she's just representing the minister, who couldn't go.
Because he was shirking. He was shirking. Sato is a shirker. He's a total shirking shirker.
I'm not going to go there.
Really?
I thought that was good. I like calling him a shirking shirker, though.
But it's still not.
She's a member of the government.
Yeah, so is Yemma. And what does he do?
He shirks.
He's a shirker.
He's a shirker, too.
He's a shirking shirker. He's nothing but a shirking shirker.
Hold on a second. Yemma is not a shirker. He's a wanker.
That's true.
Right, let's get it straight.
So what has she got to do with the Sydney Film Festival?
She's a government minister representing the arts minister that's providing $60,000 to the Sydney Film Prize.
Sure.
And so her trip.
I'm sure there would be other people more closely to that portfolio.
That trip. I was going to say, that trip probably cost more than the $60,000 that they gave for the film prize.
Could very well. I just think it's...
Why not give $120,000 for a film prize?
See, Abe's trying to beat up on them.
What I'm trying to say is, government ministers travel overseas for a reason, to represent the state, to represent the country.
Sure.
It's not like she's Barry O'Farrell going, oh, I'll just go to Cannes because I'm fat and stupid. You know, she's actually going there because she's representing the government.
Oh, but, so you actually... You're both on the same point.
Oh, good. No, he's not.
I am.
You are?
Because Abe's doing this as a sort of the media can't be trusted because of the spin and the angle.
No. To be fair, let's break this down. Let's break the fourth wall down here for a second.
Yeah.
Let's pull it down.
We don't want any shirking.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my content analysis of your delivery seemed to indicate that you were more taking the piss out of Barry O'Farrell.
I'm taking the piss out of Barry O'Farrell and the media.
Ah, so he's doing both. Yeah, fair enough.
What I'm saying is, it's perfectly reasonable for a government minister...
It's a bilingual constructivist argument.
But not shirking.
But not shirking.
Not shirking.
Not shirking. Can I back on a bit?
No. No, I think it's interesting because you've actually had a go at the media.
Yes. Right.
That's what I'm saying. I get what you're saying. But the first, when the story broke, and I don't know...
no story to fucking break!
Yes, there is. That's the whole point. When the story first broke, it was very clear that she was going over there to represent and give the whatever it was for the Sydney Film Festival. All the stories I've read have included that material. So it's not like somebody broke it and didn't say, oh, she was actually there on official business. I've always known she was on official business, and all the stories I've read have said that.
No, actually,
so what I'm saying, the question on this story is, why her? And I agree with that question. Why her?
Because it had to be someone.
It had to be someone, but someone closer to their portfolio.
I think she might actually be... like the speaker for the arts in the upper house or something like that. So that's the correct rather than funny answer.
Sure, but that's not... I doubt that because it's not been mentioned.
But I have a sneaking suspicion that even if that was the case, because it was the Telegraph that initially drove this story.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who broke the story at first. That wouldn't have fitted in with the Telegraph's, shall we say... picture of what's a sensationalist piece of government wastage story.
You're saying they would have admitted, they would have been shirking on there.
I think they were shirking on their journalistic responsibility.
They were taking the important facts and putting them in a tea chest somewhere.
That's exactly right.
In fact, to add weight to that argument, a spokesman said that the situation involving the housing company was currently in the hand of an insurance company, or blah, 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 and there's not much that the minister could currently do. So there's nothing the minister could do. Further to that, she was there for less than a week, apparently, and touched down she headed to New Zealand for a meeting about consumer affairs, which is actually her portfolio. Her trip to France and the announcements of the Sydney Film Prize was to help boost the film industry in New South Wales. So my question is, why is then Barry O'Farrell and Ms. Cusack, who's an opposition fair trading spokesman, saying it's a junket? It's her big overseas trip that she's been looking forward to. There are people living in caravans while Linda is sipping champagne and rubbing shoulders with celebrities. It never stopped John Howard or the rest of you conservative liberal wankers.
No, I agree,
but we've said that with those ones as well.
But let's look at it this way. This story, I would guarantee and I'm going to use the phrase content analysis again because it's actually the correct term. If you did a content analysis of the newspapers over the last 5 years, I would guarantee that once a month there's a junket story, and I would almost guarantee that it's equally split between Labor and Liberal. It seems to be like that standard story that the media bring up when they want to just basically just put that little bit of distrust back into their... It's a slow Newsweek story. It's a classic slow Newsweek story. But what's annoying...
See, he's already written his show notes biased.
But what's really...
He's shirking on his responsibilities. You know, as a show summary writer.
As the tea chest of the show.
It is.
It is.
If after this show, one of Richard's legs washes up on a beach inside a tea chest, we'll know why.
Fair enough.
A walk in the Black Forest.
I'll give you one of those.
So, last Monday, you alluded to earlier, Peter.
Yep.
The former Prime Minister of this country, the Honourable.
Right Honourable.
Far Right Honourable. Jean Howard. As they say
Jean,
in France.
Yeah, Johnny.
Johnny Howard. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
How are you? had his house broken into.
Oui.
And he wasn't in the country, of course, because he was off on a...
Junket.
Thank you very much. Shirking his home, responsibilities.
Doesn't he get like $30,000 a year worth of free travel?
It's like $150,000.
Yes, it's more. Yeah, it's like heaps. Yeah.
Yeah. The Rudd government cut it in half. It used to be $300,000. They've now cut it to $150,000.
But even so, that's a lot. You could fly around the world three times in first class for that.
I don't know why we give people that. I mean, okay, I've got no problem with ambassadors. You know, but we have ambassadors who are also paid to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
What we're actually doing is we're paying John Howard to fly around the world
and earn money for himself.
And earn money for himself and brief right-wing free thinkers on how right-wing this country is.
Exactly, and how they can make their country equally right-wing.
Now, you've got to argue that this is not a good thing for the country.
See, if John Howard... Now, but this is predicated, though, Richard,
on the argument. It's definitely predicated on him not shirking.
It's predicated...
You know what? I'm so wish I should have used the word shirking instead of that other one. But anyway...
Yeah, exactly. Because we would have really been ka-chinging the laughs up by now.
Exactly. We could have just put it away, it's all gone.
Now, the interesting thing is, you know, I've just lost my point now. Doesn't matter.
Abe's counting. What are you counting?
I'm working something out.
Okay.
You're working
no,
out.
I was going
to
make a point.
Like to work it out with
I was going to make a point about, I'm just going to make a point about the gold cards and why they give politicians gold cards. The argument they normally make is the,
country.
That's right. Now I remember where I was. This is predicated on the fact that ultimately, the Prime Minister is using its overseas trips to promote Australia, to, you know...
We have advertising that does that, and we have nice people.
Yeah, we have Lara Bingle.
We do.
We do.
Who I believe you can also use a Visa card for.
What, Lara Bingle?
Yeah.
And we also have people who other people in the rest of the world actually like.
Yes, that's very true.
To do that job as well. So but why are we paying this man?
But the interesting thing with Howard is Howard's basically...
To get him out of the country.
Yeah, that's a fair call, actually. Do you really want him in this country?
I don't want him showing the rest of the country that he's still around.
Well, showing the rest of the world.
I mean, we did vote him out with a massive landslide that the rest of the world is completely jealous over.
But didn't we have, I mean, I don't know, this was a couple of weeks ago, John Howard had a, there was a big sort of Liberal Party fundraiser where they celebrated.
Yes.
And I'd actually...
We talked about that while you weren't here.
Did you?
chaired by the or hosted by the completely impartial 2GB journalist Jason Morrissey. He's completely impartial.
Obviously.
He's completely...
I thought you were going to say Alan Jones for a second there.
Completely impartial, but still there to raise money for the Liberal Party. Completely impartial.
Was Jonesy there?
I think he was standing in for Jonesy.
Oh, because Jonesy... Oh, Jonesy's been sick, hasn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
I think he was unwell, too.
Yeah, I heard that. But so there he is. He gets video. Did you mention the video tributes that he received?
No.
Yes. From his axis of stupidity?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got all that sort of stuff. Those people don't... They seem to think that he did what Tony Blair did and did what George Bush will do soon, which is step down with grace.
Yes.
You know, leave under their own volition... When at the time of their choosing, which is when his party decided that he was no longer needed, what if he neglects to mention is the country also told him to fuck off,
and so did his party.
And his party,
actually asked him for 4 years
to leave.
That's all right.
No, I've got to stay. It's mine. You can't have it.
Then he got his ass handed to him.
You are so right, Peter.
By someone. He got his ass handed to him by someone who'd been in Parliament for 12 months.
Yes.
A relative newbie. Not someone who goes, oh, yes, well, this Kevin Rudd, he's looked after the country for 25 years, and it's about time we gave him a chance. He went, oh, someone who's actually good. Let's get rid of John Howard. Yeah. What a douchebag.
I know. So John Howard, I think, is now using his Commonwealth gold card to create this myth that, you know, 11 and a half years of Liberal government... You know, just came to a natural end. It's just, you know, it's a...
I don't think it's too much of a myth, Pete, because remember, he did not get the knighthood.
That's true.
I'm putting that down purely to the research that the Crown, the Royal, what was it called in England?
The monarchy.
The monarchy would have done.
That's true.
In their research.
So it would have been like knighting, I don't know...
Spear?
Max Mosley.
Yeah.
Yeah, like knighting Max Mosley.
Worse than that. Be worse.
Mosley's father.
Mosley's father.
There we go.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to John Howard's house.
Yeah.
Was broken into. This is the one in Wollstonecraft. You know the one we talked about many times.
Yep.
And they set off.
Which,
the
funnily enough, isn't in Bennelong, and never has been.
No, now this is a shocking indictment on the man. Once he's out of Parliament, did he choose to embrace his flock?
No.
Does he choose to embrace his people who have looked after him for many years and then kicked him out because he's a douchebag? No. He moves away. He moves away from the heart and soul
of Sydney, which is this area here at Hunters Hill.
That's right.
Exactly. Doing our bit for the local community.
We are.
Yep, there we go. So,
hey, you could read me like a book.
And he was out of the country, of course, earning the mighty dollar.
Yep.
As he does, because the dollar's more important to him personally. These days, for some reason, he suddenly had...
But the American dollar seems to be much more important.
Much more important to him, whereas for the previous 12 years, all he's cared about is our well-being.
Totally.
And so he
Australia
was out of the
first,
country.
John Howard second.
Someone broke in, stole a bunch of jewellery.
Mm-hmm. They stole John's own little personal pearl necklace?
And his little swastika.
His little pinky ring.
Oh, nice.
And I'm not talking about the one he goes in his hand.
Nope.
Yes. It was about 4 p.m.
So that was two sexual references in the one jewellery joke. Well done.
It's good.
Yeah, it's nice.
4 p.m. in the afternoon, so they didn't really care.
Under the cover of daylight.
Under the cover of daylight.
Is rocked up.
They set the alarms off, and that was it. So I'm assuming that there's probably no...
They set the alarms off.
There's no security.
I would assume. Oh, she was the next Prime Minister. He still has security, I would have thought.
You know...
They're probably with him.
Or if he doesn't have security, he'd pay them to make him look important.
I was going to say, the thing is, the Chaser, now knowing, or any of those other programs, I think there's a couple of other ones that are coming along. Now, knowing he has no security, they're going to be on his doorstep every morning.
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Howard. Yeah. Are you in? Did you order a pizza?
Have you seen pictures of him jogging these days? The security detail is much smaller.
I can imagine.
Much, much smaller. Mm.
But the interesting thing I found, and this goes back to, I mean, this whole thing about him trying to create, I think, some sort of legacy for the fact that he is only the second sitting Prime Minister to ever be kicked out of his own seat. And we'll go down in history whenever they talk about that, when a Prime Minister is close to lose. Only two Prime Ministers have ever been kicked out of their seats. Stanley Melbourne Bruce and John Winston Howard.
It's quite, what's the term for happily ironic? You're the master wordsmith, Pete.
Happily ironic.
How about it was about bloody time?
Yeah, that'll do.
That, Whenever we read about John Winston Howard in the future, the very first sentence will be his record for being kicked out of his
I know, it's beautiful.
As opposed to anything else.
Now, he's trying to change that, because I noticed one of the things I noticed that noted centre-middle, completely unbiased Jason Morrison took at his in his presentation was that he referred to John Howard as Mr. Prime Minister.
Oh, really? That's very American.
So I think John Howard, and I've seen it a few times, people have referred to John Howard as Mr. Prime Minister in trying to introduce him with the American thing, that basically you're Mr. President or Senator or General to the day you die. You keep your honorific title to the day you die.
Mm.
I think John Howard's trying to actually invoke that American tradition here in Australia, that he's always referred to as Mr. Prime Minister. That said, he would actually have to be able to then accept the fact that Bob Hawke or Paul Keating would be referred to as Mr. Prime Minister.
Exactly.
And I think he'd say, but it only applies to Labor Prime. Only applies to Prime Ministers been in over for 10 years.
That's right.
It's an honorific for 10-year Prime Ministers and only.
Just wait, someone will bring that up.
I'm sure.
In fact, I noticed that Piers Ackerman, straight after the budget...
Another noted centre, unbiased... political commentator.
Straight after the budget, Piers Ackerman was hacking into the budget and into Kevin Rudd, saying it was a disgrace, it was this, it was that, it was etc., etc., etc.
Sounds like you, Pete.
A bit like me. Well, I have to mention that my surname is actually Ackerman.
Yeah, it's Pierre Ackerman.
Pierre Ackerman.
I never realised that.
Mm. I know, Uncle Piers.
Should we move on?
Yeah, no, I've got something that's connected to that, actually, funnily enough. Okay. Now, ticking another local box as we are doing this program.
Yes. Speaking of the local area.
I picked up a copy of this week's The Weekly Times. Now, during the Battle for Bennelong, this became, I think, the organ, if you will, of journalism about the Battle for Bennelong.
Yes, it certainly was a cock.
Yeah, I was. Of the walk.
Well, made a cock of itself.
Of the walk.
Yes.
Cock of the walk. The editor of this fine piece of local journalism, and I'm just going to keep walking that line.
Do it, do it. You keep doing the Johnny Cash.
Is JB. John Booth.
Yep.
And John puts his mug on the cover there.
He
always does.
And what a mug.
And he puts a bit of an editorial. I just want to read just the first three paragraphs of JB's world for this week, or last week actually, if you want to be technical about it, for last week, which he actually doesn't put a date on his newspaper, but anyway, Wednesday, May 14th, so last week, Kevin 07 Rudd. Now I don't know if that's done in a.
It's deliberately piss take.
No, I think he's being serious about him here because I don't think he's being in any way, shape, or form sarcastic about him.
No.
Because he's our leader.
Yeah.
And he governs for all. Kevin 07 Rudd is in danger of becoming a one-term wonder as a Prime Minister unless he starts to wake up along with the growing number of people who are realising the fallacy of so-called global warming and man-made climate change.
Mm-hmm.
He's back on his fallacy. Mm. We're all getting a little weary of the rhetoric of working families, whatever that means. Now,
well, how the hell would he know? He doesn't work for a living.
I'd argue that the phrase working families is pretty fucking self-explanatory.
You would think
they're so. They're families, and they work.
No, it could be. It's a bit convoluted. It could be a family that's working, or it could be someone who's a donkey.
How about, are there unworking families?
There are.
That just don't work, they're dysfunctional.
But apparently we have the lowest rate of unworking families in 12 years.
According to the OECD?
Yes.
Amazing. Whatever that means, and caring for our children and grandchildren, jargon. Because just when you care for your children and grandchildren, as you'll find out, Richard.
Yes.
That's just jargon.
Yeah, it's just jargon.
It's just jargon.
It's jargon.
What about looking after the now generation? Especially the mentally ill, the elderly, and carers, and confined the dangerous gas emissions to the hot air chambers of the parliamentary bunker in Canberra, where they rightfully belong. Now, if you could put any more far right wing references in one sentence, you could be on this show. I mean, come on!
I'm amazed.
In this day and age,
I mean,
you would think that that journalists at least would understand that the world's getting hotter.
I don't know.
Just that simple premise. It's getting hotter.
Yeah. And certainly in this studio it is.
And you know, and when people say no, it's not getting hotter. It's just that people are doing more, or there's more industry, and it's like, yeah, which makes it hotter.
But the classic was when I was in the Netherlands. The Netherlands and Europe had one of its coldest winters on record. In fact, it was snowing all the way till March. And all the journalists in their equally prestigious local newspapers were all saying, well, that proves it for climate change, doesn't it? It's not global warming, it's global cooling.
Journalists, hand up so I know.
Place filler? Yep.
Journalists are stupid. You know the problem is, journalists actually copy each other.
Yep.
Because journalism these days basically involves getting wires up on the computer, copy, paste, rewrite, that's it.
Subs. They're subs.
So basically they just copy each other all the time. So there's no actual critical thought going, let me see.
Investigative journalism.
What's global warming all about? It's not just the word warming.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's necessarily getting hotter. There's other, you know, impacts as well. Go up to the North Pole and ask the Inuit up there, is the ice melting? Are the creatures disappearing? Yes, I'm sorry, I'm dying up here.
Well, I mean, but then again, it's just that laziness of journalism. I mean, today there was a global warming story on ABC Asia Pacific about how... Oh, sorry, you were place filling. But you can place fill after me. On ABC Asia Pacific, you'll be ready in 15:20. Just take a seat, have a cup of coffee. It's all good.
No, every minute that goes by, my story becomes more and more irrelevant.
And that's what I have to say. So, Richard.
In fact, I don't even know I need to say it now because it's completely relevant now. About 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whenever it was, 15 years ago, I read a book on climate change, debunking the climate change myth.
Yep.
And what they were basically saying was we had all these weather stations around the world that were monitoring annual temperatures around the world, and that the main argument for climate change is that these average temperatures were gradually going up and up and up and up and up. And what this book basically said was, it's a bit of a myth because a lot of these weather stations 100 years ago, 150 years ago, when they were first set up, were very isolated from industry, from people and all that sort of stuff. Yep. And the only reason the average temperatures at these stations are actually going up is because civilization is moving closer and closer to the weather stations, which creates more heat and temperature, which then makes these weather stations not as isolated. So the temperature is just, it's artificially inflated because the temperature of the local area has gone up.
Yeah. That makes no fucking sense.
It makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Yes, because the temperature of the local area has gone up!
And not just the local area, the area around the local area. Yes.
You know, and basically what they're saying, they're basically supporting the issue, there's no place left on the planet where you can measure the temperature without people. And
I know.
That is the problem.
I know, but what gets me is this, you know, this whole idea that you can just create this dialogue that says that global warming is a myth when, you know, as a journalist, how can you report that? Because, you know, you've got one person saying global warming is a myth. You've got 95% of the scientific community saying it's happening. Then shouldn't you... I know this concept of balance, but isn't balance saying that on balance most of those people believe it's happening?
Yes.
You report them as a minority of people don't believe it.
But not all journalists, in inverted commas, are journalists.
That's true.
See, this is the
a
thing.
A lot of just are just writers.
A lot of them work for the Telegraph.
Exactly right.
This is the thing as well, because last year was the hottest year on record since 1850 around the world.
Yes.
Also, the problem with... So, say a journalist, right? Ooh, okay, we've got somebody here who's saying it's not right. Let's report on the person who's saying that global warming doesn't exist. You know, there's a guy who lives near me who cycles around with a bicycle helmet on wrapped in foil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he does that so the aliens don't take his brain while he's riding his bike.
Yep.
99.8% of people in my local area don't believe that by riding their bike outside, their brains will come out of their heads via aliens.
No.
But this guy does. So I'm looking forward to next week on the 2GB News, shock report, aliens will take the brain out of your head if you're riding a bicycle. Here's an interesting story.
Yes, go for it.
Let us be the judge.
Yeah, exactly. Don't prejudge it, mate.
Don't prejudge
it. No, look,
Just deliver it and let the critics make their opinion.
I mean, that's the problem with this country.
It
these
is. People
just,
prejudge. They prejudge everything.
They assume, they make assumptions.
They prejudge.
You know what? They're shirking on their judgment.
There's no judgment.
That's un-Australian. It's un-Australian.
Totally un-Australian.
Exactly. Shirking off their...
Shirk it off.
They should be shirking off in their own rooms instead of putting it in our faces.
And telling us that it's going to be funny.
Exactly. And how dare you,
man? How dare you? Yeah, exactly.
A rubbish bag clad Darth Vader has escaped a jail term for bashing a group of Welsh Jedi Knights.
Come on, you can do it. Come on.
No, no, I want to hear the story.
Why
I
bother doing a sound check before this episode?
Tim.
I will win Hughes at 27. Don a cape from a black rubbish bag and bash Jedi Church founder Barney Jones, a.k.a. Master Yonba... Hehel, with a metal crutch. Ironic.
Yes.
He also hit Mr. Jones' 18-year-old cousin, Michael Jones, known as Master Hormy Hehel, in the March 25th incident.
Whatever's happening in Wales, I want some. So, the interesting part of this, of course, is that this is the now official Jedi Church, which does exist because of the whole movement to get Jedi put on the world census reportings as an organised religion. What's really funny, and what's quite ironic about this from my perspective, is that these people are imagining that they're part of the Star Wars universe. Now, as actually one half of a character that is actually officially in the Star Wars universe...
Very true.
That both Abe and I can speak to, because we are actually officially part of the Star Wars universe, and you think I'm taking the piss, but I'm actually not. We are seriously part of the Star Wars universe. Do you believe you or what?
No, I don't believe you.
Okay, shall we explain this, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, many, many years ago, we interviewed a number of times an author of Star Wars books by the name of Sean Williams. Great guy, really cool. And we would joke with him about when you write your next, and these are part of George Lucas' official canon, they're part of the extended Star Wars universe.
It's on the website.
StarWars.com. We made a joke. Well, put us into your next book. We didn't hear from Sean for about 18 months. His next book comes out. There's a character, an official character called Pieta Abe. And it actually has, its description is a mix of Abe and my physical characteristics.
So, of course, he's stunningly good looking.
And with a very tiny dick.
and unfunny.
And highly unfunny. But he's in the book for about 8 pages or something.
And when in the original conversation with him, I said, now the character's going to have to be Imperial, right? He can't be any of this Jedi scum. And he goes, okay, fair enough.
Screw the rebels.
And I said to him, you know, I want a scene walking down a hallway, like boots clicking down the hallway, Imperial general, Imperial character, bam, baby, there he is.
And there he is. So we are officially in the Star Wars canon.
It's not very often that I've, you know...
You just thought we were taking the piss.
Yeah, always. Yeah,
I was thinking about that the other day. I wonder which of us has the interview.
I don't know. I've got the interview. I'll bring the interview in for next week. I'll find out.
I just said bringing some smeg stuff.
I wouldn't mind a copy of
so,
that.
So, as a person who is actually officially a member of the Star Wars universe, get the fuck off my territory.
Well, actually, that's really disappointing.
The guy was drunk, though. Are you going to mention that bit?
He was. In fact,
British citizen and drunk? No.
Yes.
No.
Hughes says he can't remember the incident because he had drunk almost 10 litres of wine.
You know, that would be amusing, a drunk Darth Vader walking around.
Now, the Jedi Order, which claims almost 30 members...
Ooh, it's a big church.
30 members. Says on its website that it uses insight and knowledge from the films as a guide to living a better life, a better and more worthwhile life. Now, of course, my theory is if you're a Jedi, you must be celibate. So I'd actually like to see them stick to this. And the other thing as well is you have to be frickin' dead.
Yes.
Because we, the Imperials... killed you.
Yeah, exactly. You're gone.
That's all I got.
It's an end of race. No, there's two left.
In the 2001...
The twins, the Jedi twins, they're still out there.
Well, that's extended universe, biatch. In the 2001 United Kingdom census, 390,000, that is 0.7% of the population, listed themselves as Jedi. 3% of the population listed themselves as stupid.
Exactly.
You know, the interesting thing about those sorts of figures is the Bureau of Statistics or whatever they have in Britain, probably the British Bureau of
Statistics,
something else would be in
the BBS.
Title. That's it. Why wouldn't they sit back and say, we've got 390,000 of these people who lied to us.
So let's prosecute the motherfuckers.
No, so I wonder who else lied to us in any of the other questions.
Yes.
You know, I think the best thing they could do is actually probably hunt them down. And kill them all.
Lightsaber them.
Yeah, why not?
But no, when you lightsaber them though, that when you do this, they'll only become stronger.
Oh, now you see, you're taking
this
too
this
far.
This is the thing that what's his face brings up in
Bob.
Yeah, that's him.
Majigibob.
The God Delusion.
Yeah.
Is basically when questioned about their religious beliefs,
mm.
they would revert to I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Or whatever,
yeah.
you know, whatever it is.
I'm a
whether they believe it or not, without saying that they're an atheist, because that's just what their family is, that's what their history is, and the census is exactly the same thing. And this is a perfect example of it. You know, what is your religion? The fact that 390,000 people have absolutely no qualms
with lying
to the government about what their religious beliefs are. When
maybe they're not.
What?
Maybe they're not.
The church's got 30 members.
But maybe they...
But there's another branch.
390,000. Maybe they actually believe that they're Jedi.
I cannot believe 390,000 people would believe they're Jedi.
390,000 would be thinking to themselves,
this is funny.
This is funny to write.
This is funny. I like the Jedi beliefs.
I like the outfit.
Yeah, but...
On this very station, Matt
Curley...
It's
very nice, got leather in the...
Matt Curley listed himself as a Jedi on the last census.
Did he?
I would have thought one of the key criteria of being a Jedi would be an experience of the Force.
Yes.
You know, and
Actually, let's be fair, that there's a little bit more to it than that now. That they have midichlorians in their blood.
So let's not
screw around here.
So you would think that 390,000 people have experienced the Force.
Yes,
is probably a bit of a stretch.
It is, and I think what's really important is that all the government has to do to prosecute these people is run a series of 390,000 blood tests. Mm. And if there's no midichlorians present, you're down.
You're down. But the interesting thing about this, I think, is the fact that these people had no problems whatsoever putting a joke on the on the thing about their religious beliefs. How wrong are these statistics, and have they been in the past? And I'm sure the Bureau probably just sits there and think, that's just 390,000 people, and that's a joke year.
Yeah.
But all the other figures would be completely accurate.
Because they, funnily enough, sell those figures.
Yes, exactly.
For commercial interest.
So, I mean, how many people really are atheists or agnostics?
Just tick Catholic.
Just concentrating on the religious part of the thing, but tick all the other religious beliefs. So we have these figures that say our country is, you know, 70% whatever it is religious, and it's not.
See, my mum was really angry with me on the last census that I, and she said, "So what'd you put on religion?" And I said, "You know, atheist."
It sucks.
I just said atheist, and she goes, "No. You were brought up Catholic. I said, "Mum, it doesn't actually say what religion were you." Brought up in, or what religion did your parents choose for you that you chose to rebel against later when you grew up and actually realised that you were being lied to by your parents and your parents' religious beliefs? It says, what religion do you currently, you know, consider yourself as?
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, but, you know, you'll come back to a cat. You'll be a Catholic soon at some point. I said, perhaps if I, you know, have some major brain trauma that results in the, you know, destruction of any physical or mental construct
I
have.
I'll tell you when. When Jesus comes back.
Oh, yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah, that's probably
That'd turn my...
Yeah, you'd probably say, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You are my Lord and Saviour. Yeah. Thanks, dude.
You know,
and I've always said that.
I've always said that, yep.
There's two sides to the story. There's always two sides to the story. And the thing I don't get with Christians is they go, oh, yes, you know... We're good and righteous and that kind of stuff, and we had to get rid of Satan because he was evil. Now, you actually read it, Satan actually wasn't evil. He just didn't agree that God should have dominion over everybody. Didn't believe that there was just one God, that, you know, people should have some thought. His idea was that people should have a greater thought process.
So it
should
be
more democratic.
What you're telling me is Satan is sort of like an opposition leader.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, exactly, he is.
Not of equal value, okay? He's not a deity or anything like that. He is, you know, of a higher form than us,
He's the Brendan Nelson of religion.
No, you douchebag.
He is Brendan Nelson because he's a fallen angel.
Yes, exactly right.
No, he used to be Labour.
Brendan Nelson used to be Labour.
Yes, he did.
And now he's coalition.
He's a fallen angel.
He is Satan.
Brendan Nelson is Satan.
He is Satan.
This is amazing.
Oh, the census changes for me next time around. Yeah.
So what do you think Brendan Nelson puts on there?
Turd.
Oh, what in the Black Forest?
There we go. Ah, dear. And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this at home, if you don't, if you need to get your hair dry,
just put your hair behind the speakers because the air displacement of this very show will dry your hair in about 5 seconds.
Now, of course, an exciting...
A sonic hair dryer.
Yes, and then you could cut it off and put it in a tea chest for your children.
You could.
Exciting announcement this week, of course, is that Hillary Clinton has announced her running mate. She'll be running with a box of bleach just to prove she's whiter than anybody else.
Exactly right. And at this point, I'm going to give you a little bit of a time to find the introduction, because I haven't given you any indication that you need to find the introduction, but I'll give you some time to find the introduction, because you're on a Walking Back Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. You can check our website, which is www.walkbackforest.org. If you're on Facebook, look up Walking Back Forest, and you can join our Facebook group, or you can go to our MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/Walkback Forest, which is all those things with our web presence. And at some point, I believe we're actually going to be starting up our own BBS to be completely up there with technology.
Our own Bureau of Statistics.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly right. And now...
Hey, Mr. President.
It's a time for action.
This is the story of Governor Mitt Romney.
Go, 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 Obama, Obama, oh! Go, 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 Obama, Obama.
That's because we have always argued...
Mic's on.
Yeah.
5, 4.
He knew.
I'm
interacting. I'm preparing to come back on air.
No, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, you've been
taught. You give us a thing.
You didn't right. say you didn't say tea chest.
Hold on. In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome back.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. And the question that probably most people are asking, why isn't Hillary Clinton
in the
actual introduction?
But Richard, it's really important.
She's not going to run.
It's really important as we are. Like, we've always been Obama fans, as we know. We've been.
I don't like this joke.
We have been working on the Obama camp for many, many years, raising funds.
But I think it's fair, Pete, that we give one of them the minor candidates at least a go. Even though she's not going to make it,
look,
we knew that.
I know, and I really should have perhaps played up to Abe's sensitivity.
Yeah, I mean, if he wants to see a white woman in the White House.
Yeah, exactly. We should have
dig the material out. You are going to pay.
Just keep it going.
I can see the segment intro next week being a lot different, I think.
It would be a quote of Peter going, Obama has no hope of winning, the candidate's going to be Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I thought so. Anyway, time for Hey, Mr. President.
That'd be a mashup, though, because you wouldn't.
I wouldn't have said that because I'm on the side of change.
MCK.
MCK. Now, what's really interesting, of course, at the moment is that the last two primaries were held last week. Mm. Oh, well, not the last two, but the last two of the sort of bigger. The last two that were held.
I think
were held last.
Which was Oregon and Kentucky. Two very similar states.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Oregon being...
one makes bourbon and one makes chairs.
Yes, exactly.
The other makes chicken.
Oregon being a far-right, very highly conservative...
Bourbon.
Oregon being a far-right, highly conservative state. Yes. Mm. And, of course, Kentucky being a very liberal, progressive...
Drunk.
Coffee drinking...
Drunk, chicken licking.
Activist, anarchist state.
Right.
May have got those two the wrong way around.
You might have done.
I think he might. Oh, incidentally, to add to your point, CNN were interviewing a highly esteemed political commentator yesterday.
What, Richard?
Bill Clinton?
Close. So what they did was they went all across the country and they're looking for someone who could best comment on the state of play in America at the moment. Of course, you know, America is highly divided. Mm-hmm. And they managed to get someone with a political... backstory,
yep.
But also someone who people knew. So they got Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, governor of Minnesota.
I think it was Minnesota.
It was Minnesota.
That's right.
And who is now working, I saw him on Larry King a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
He's got a new book out. Funny enough, that's why he was on Larry King. And he's now working on the dialogue about immigrants.
Oh.
He's
He's a little bit pro-immigrant.
Yeah, he's actually quite progressive, which is funny.
He is. He's a Democrat, so...
Well, yeah, but he ran as an independent.
But he does sit on the Democrat side. He's not a superdelegate, though.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's not. Mind you, he will body slam you if you quit him.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm looking forward to Hillary Clinton lying on the ground, bleeding from every orifice.
So am I.
I know you would be. So, some news, of course, after the two primaries was, as CNN predicted, with 0.0% of the vote counted,
that
Hillary Clinton won Kentucky.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that progressive, liberal-leaning state. And Barack Obama, of course, won the rednecks up there in Oregon.
Now, of course, this is almost completely divided along racial lines.
It's completely divided along redneck lines.
It is, that's right.
It's a little bit biased, though, because, I mean, in Kentucky...
Yep, that leading
I mean,
liberal.
If the black people were allowed to vote, then it would have been a lot fairer.
That's probably true. Of course, don't forget the entire American electoral system does in some way, shape or form disenfranchise both black and poor voters from voting.
That's very true.
Because it's on a Tuesday when they've got to give up a day of work to vote.
That's right. And if you don't have a residence, you can't vote. And if you've ever been in jail, you can't vote. And if you're on Social Security, I think there's... For a certain amount of time, I don't think you know. I'd have to look
that
up.
If you've ever voted for a Democrat before, you're not allowed to vote.
And if you're in Florida...
Except in Florida.
And if you're in Florida, and you happen to be black, and one of 100,000 people who are just randomly deleted from the electoral rolls, then you can't vote.
All right.
Anyway...
against you, isn't it?
So, at the moment, of course, Obama is sort of... In some ways, shape or form, treading water. He doesn't know what to do because he, you know, he
has no policies.
Well, he doesn't have any policies, has no plan, and he's almost like got himself hands on this thing, going, "Oh shit."
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's got black skin.
Well, that's also true.
That's all against him.
Yeah. Well, if you're from Oregon, they'd believe that.
They would.
But what's interesting is,
but you wouldn't know because in Oregon you'd have like a ski mask on or something, and you wouldn't see that he was dark.
He'd be driving a pickup truck.
sure.
Well, I'm just
sure that's what they do in Oregon.
They do.
They drive pickup.
They do. In fact, I believe
with
that's actually
in the back.
I believe that's actually a state rule.
Is it?
Yeah.
No. The pickup isn't the rule. A gun rack is the rule.
Ah.
Yeah.
With guns?
I'm starting to see a lot of pickup trucks in this country.
Oh yeah.
Big pickup trucks.
The F-250s and stuff.
Yeah.
They're huge, aren't they? Apparently they drive like a dog.
But they're bigger than you. See, you get the benefit of being of a four-wheel drive, being above everybody. But with the Australian coolness factor of a ute.
That's right. But the thing you do miss out on.
I've got one.
You miss out on anything above a V6, and you miss out on turbo and ignition.
Mm. And
so
you
really
miss out on safety too.
Yeah.
Yes,
but you
don't ding and you're dead.
But you don't miss out on somewhere to put your gun rack.
No, you don't.
Somewhere to perhaps, you know, sit at park it at the back of say a football field and watch a nice game between high school football teams.
In fact, when you
put a kegger on the back.
And
in fact, when you first buy it, they'll fit it for you. They'll actually bend you over and insert it for you.
Oh, very good.
Not only that, they'll actually give you the rope to hog tie the first person you catch at the front.
Oh, fantastic. Is that an optional extra or is that free?
No, apparently. Well, it depends on where you buy it from.
If it's a
factory
from Redneck Ford?
Standard.
Yeah, standard from Redneck Ford?
Yeah,
excellent.
That's it.
Nice. Anyway, back to where we were. Now, interesting, so Obama's sort of... is now bored with Hillary, doesn't want to talk about her anymore, and he started talking about McCain. Third term of Bush, blah, 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 blah.
It's a con.
He's had 2 weeks of now changing his dialogue and talking about McCain. So let's see what effect this has had in the polls on against him versus McCain in the polls.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is, of course, if you want to think about this as, hey, Mr. President goes poll smoking.
Sure.
Can I borrow the term?
Okay,
cool. Sure. I'll pay you. Or is the bill already in the mail?
No, it's in the mail.
Oh, good. Republican John McCain is leading Barack Obama in two key U.S. presidential swing states, which are the area is... One is Florida. One is Florida.
Geez, Florida, there's
so that'll
price.
Be fixed.
But it's a swing state, though. It's one of those states that...
Yeah, it can, but it won't.
Well, yeah, it's true. And the other one is... where is the other one? Ohio. So
yeah, that's not surprising.
So the two states, which you know, they're the states the Democrats have to win. They have to win back states to take the.
Ohio's going to be hard because it's very white. It's conservative. It's in the middle of fracking nowhere.
But then again, Clinton, Bill brackets,
yep.
carried both Ohio and Florida for both his terms.
Why aren't we surprised?
You have to carry those.
That's right.
To win power.
But he's conservative.
Well, not really. I mean, he's less conservative than, say, George Bush Sr.
That's not hard. He ran the CIA.
But, you know, that's what I'm... I mean, yeah, okay. Every American... Actually, Obama's conservative.
Yeah, he is. He has to be. Of course.
You have to be in America. I mean, there was a big story
but
in...
But not as conservative. He's actually talking about the poor. He's actually talking about socialised medicine, which no one on the campaign trail...
But there's a huge story...
Oh, when did he talk about that? That's hobnob.
Quite early on, he did, absolutely.
Yeah, but since he actually became a realistic presidential chair, when has he talked about it?
Yeah, and then 4 years ago, he changed his tack.
What's interesting, in this week's Guardian, there's an article about... the debate in California over same-sex marriage.
Mm.
Now, the California Supreme Court actually upheld a decision that same-sex marriage is legal in California. So now it's only one of two states, one of which is New York, the other is California, where same-sex marriage is legal. And it was actually a conservative judge who on the California Supreme Court who agreed to it.
Mm.
What's fascinating is that they, in order to get this as a constitutional amendment that goes to the next election, they have to get 300,000 signatures in support of the constitutional amendment.
Mm.
They've got nearly a million in California, funnily enough, because there's well and truly a million members of evangelical Christians who can't stand the fact that two men or two women happen to be in love and want to get married, because that just goes against the will of Jesus Christ. Wait till Jesus comes back and tells them.
That'll teach them a lesson.
Or marries a gay man.
Exactly.
Funny
he comes back and introduces him. Hi, this is my boyfriend, Lionel.
Well, is it any wonder that in 2,000 years Jesus has never had a child?
Exactly
and
right.
I don't think it's a coincidence that that Jesus and Judas fell out. You know why, don't you?
Oh. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and there's a mime for you.
And he wears a dress.
I never thought of
it. He does. There you go.
The facial hair is a bit of a giveaway. Oh, he's probably a bear.
Yeah, he could be a bear. He's a bear. That's what it is. Man, I tell you what, if Jesus does exist, we've just burnt in hell.
No. It's all about love.
Now,
I reckon Jesus has a sense of humor.
Jesus loves his fellow man.
He does too. Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. The whole thing about that is that they're going to put the constitutional amendment.
And at the end, he was just stuck between a rock and a hard place.
You really got the lines today, don't you?
Today?
It's only today. The constitutional amendment, the exact word that goes into the constitutional amendment is a very, very simple statement, which is the constitutional now say only marriage between a man and a woman is valid and recognised in California. That's the amendment they're moving for. Mm. Now, they asked all three candidates...
Does that mean if two men were married and they walked up to somebody, they wouldn't be recognised?
Who are you again?
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's a new stealth technology. I couldn't work it out.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now, both Obama, Clinton, and McCain were asked about their opinion on same-sex marriages.
Mm.
Now,
Obama said what?
Now, you can imagine that Obama, A, didn't comment himself. He had one of his campaign spokespeople comment.
Yeah, who said what?
What? And he had to say that he's fully in favour of same-sex civil unions.
Mm.
But he doesn't support gay marriage. Now, to me, this is another indication
so
where...
So he's a socialist if he supports the unions.
Must be. They have, every country in this world, Western country in the world, is experiencing this shift towards conservatism.
Mm.
That even the left-wing parties have to appear conservative to try and pally up to the ever-increasing religious... Not even the religious right anymore, just the religious voting bloc.
Yeah, the fuckwits.
Yeah. So you've got a situation, for example, and this is my link back to the Bill Henson thing that we're going to talk about in depth, but the fact that a exhibition of photography of a noted photographer that's been making this style of photography for how many years? 15, 20 years, I think now, got shut down, not because there was anything wrong with it, but because Talkback Radio went nuts yesterday.
Yeah.
And then the police came in and shut him down, not to say that he'd actually done anything wrong or might press any charges or to do anything. It's because that's the perspective the government wants to demonstrate that they're conservative. So Kevin Rudd, who has to equally demonstrate that he's conservative, obviously using the word economic conservative more often than he uses the word, hello, darling, how are you? He then comes out and says the whole thing's disgusting. It's disgraceful. Mm. And how can this... Look, even if they call this art, and I don't think it's art, now, you wouldn't normally involve yourself in that. That's the sort of thing Howard would have done to demonstrate his conservative credentials.
But he wouldn't have done anything about it. Howard would have just stated his point and then moved on. I mean, Big Brother, all those sorts of things. Yeah. He would state his point and say it's disgusting, and then he would just completely dismiss it.
Or Philip Ruddock would do it.
Yeah, but then, as always, people tend to want to please that conservative ethic. So obviously the police have gone along and please the conservative ethic. Now, my issue in America is it's the same problem. You've got people like Obama who I would think probably, and Clinton particularly, who'd think more likely that they'd be in favour of same-sex marriages, right? They're on the left-hand side of politics, you know.
Or maybe they're just not on the right wing.
Well, see, this is the problem. Why we've got politicians, and I guess ultimately maybe we're experiencing an issue of our own making in the fact that politicians have to be politicians. They're not leaders or governors anymore. They're not legislators. Yeah. They are politicians.
But see, Bob Hawke wasn't a politician initially.
No.
He was the leader. He was the guy who had
a mate.
Well, he had a social agenda. He had an idea of what he wanted to do, and then he had to become, you know, the leader, the politician, whatever, and stop saying all the things he actually wanted to say. And that's the concern about Rudd, and I understand what you're saying.
And that comes back to that budget talk.
Yeah, started out that way.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to start out conservative and then slowly relax?
Yeah.
Or is he going to start out this conservative and be like Bob Carr and just fuck up and make more and more conservative? Because Bob Carr was basically just the same as Griner, except uglier.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's what worries me. About a social agenda with someone like Obama, who does. I know, and now I'm going to be serious. He actually does have a social agenda.
Yes.
I can clearly see he's got a strong social agenda. He wants to remove that antagonistic America. He wants to go out there and he gets pillared. He gets absolutely criticized from pillar to post about his idea of going to talk with Iran, talk with Syria, and try and solve these problems rather than going in and doing the whole Bush rhetoric of axis of evil. I can see that. He's got a social agenda. But when it comes to something that may actually affect a serious proportion of his votes, he does the, you know, back turn and goes, oh, well, you know, say I won't go as far as saying same-sex marriages. Mm. You know, to me, a leader has guts and stands by the courage of their convictions.
But
unfortunately, they seem to only exist in naughty books.
Now, I get what you're saying, and I get your point. On the other hand, do you think he's doing that because the electorate has become more conservative under Bush?
Totally.
And if he goes, hi, I'm a gay man, I'm a black man who is going to allow gay marriage.
Yeah.
Do you really think that's going to fly
with the middle name of Hussein?
That's right. Do you really think that's going to fly in some of the states?
No, but that's the thing, though. But
I'm agreeing. That's what I'm saying.
But
I'm
he
saying
changes his own personal beliefs, which is what they stand on, effectively, because they don't lead the party. In America, they're not leading the party. They're being elected as an individual. Mm. I mean, as the most powerful person in the world, arguably.
That's true, actually.
They're not running as the Democrats. They're running as a person, and therefore his personal beliefs are effectively compromised by his own personal ambition.
That's a very good point.
I mean, okay, I mean, we can argue around the fringes about like issues like, you know, whether it be the shutting down the Henson exhibition or whatever else. But the issue for me is that the one thing I will stand by the conservatives, they actually do stand on the courage of their convictions, because they actually do believe that, you know, they believe in what they... Howard believed everything he said.
Yeah, but the courage of their convictions is wrong.
I know, I agree, and I'm not, it's not a value judgment, but they actually are in some ways less politically bankrupt, using their job as they're less politically bankrupt than the left.
Yeah, but see, also the thing is that the right is united behind the fact that they're all Nazis.
Yeah.
And the left, the problem is that the left is so fractured. We've talked about this before, where we all come from different things. Some people's main thrust is save the whales.
Yeah.
Others' main thrust is, you know, gay marriage. Others is, you know, save the forest and demilitarise and all that kind of thing. You can't get... Until everyone comes together...
Mm.
Then you can't actually have the united front.
No, I agree. And the whole thing just seems that's part of my criticism, I think, and it's a criticism of Hillary Clinton as well, because she's just as bad. She's worse, actually.
Yeah, she is.
In many ways.
Well, they both sell out. That's the problem.
They both sell out.
And my concern is that Clinton, the Bill Clinton, went back on a lot of his, when he was in government, to get things passed. He went back on a lot of his original convictions.
Well, some of the worst things he did was in his last day of government, where he basically pardoned anybody who was a mate.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, that's just corruption. And then basically, there was a lot of environmental things, which initially said he'd stand up for, but traded off to get other things happening. And I guess that's something you do in government, but, you know...
You're very quiet, Richard.
Yeah, I don't know.
He just
you mentioned the exhibition.
Yeah.
And And I think you tried to use that as a, you know, as part of this sort of thing. And I'm just trying to be thinking through where I stand with that, basically. Because I don't necessarily agree that you've got an issue. Well, I agree you've got an issue with it. Yeah. That it shouldn't have been shut down.
Oh, okay, so, no, fair enough. No, I mean, it's...
And this is probably why we're not talking about it today on the show, because it is a bit of a touchy issue. But it's scary that we're living in a world now where a lot of our discussion before the show was whether to talk about it.
I know, I agree.
And that is a scary thing.
It is.
And without going any further than that, being an upcoming father, this is not... at the way back of your mind. It's at the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Things have just changed in the last 10, 15 years that it's very scary.
It is, and I think one of the biggest issues I have with all, and I'm going to expand it out of that particular case,
sure.
But into the case of any of these sort of hot button sort of issues, is that I don't think there's actually ever a debate about it. There's not a discussion about it.
Yeah.
There's not actually a chance for someone to make a case, to have an argument. And you know what? It dates back to Piss Christ. I mean, we really want to go back to it. It dates back to when the National Gay Victoria brought in Piss Christ.
And the
massive furor that occurred about Piss Christ, to the point where a work of art was destroyed by vandals because they thought it was sacrilegious. Mm. Now... this is slightly different. It's a hot-button issue, though. It's a similar hot-button issue to religion and whatever else. But there's no debate. And that pisses me off.
Can you have the debate, though? How can you...
That's
really?
The thing.
Honestly,
I don't know if you can.
Honestly,
I don't think society can have it.
No. I don't think you can have a debate on art. Because the thing is, personally, I saw the pictures. I wasn't rapt. I don't think they're anything. I don't like them. Technically, and it's very unlike me, I don't think they should have had the exhibition.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite way.
See, I'm erring on the side of Abe as well.
See, and it's not from coming... I don't have any kids. I don't plan on having any kids. It's not about that. I'm just wondering... I looked at the pictures and I went, you know, they make me feel a little uncomfortable, and I don't know where they're coming from, and I know we're not really talking about this. Just bear with me for a second.
No.
That's what twigged with me, and I know we shouldn't... I mean, that's the same thing with a Christian person going, oh, you know, I feel uncomfortable at Piss Christ, I should get rid of it. But I think this is not to do with iconography or anything like this. This is actually to do with protection...
It's moral.
With social... I think there's more a social thing than with, say, the Piss Christ, which was iconography.
No, I'm not...
Technically, it's actually against the Bible anyway.
And I think what's really interesting, though, is where does the line stop?
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's a lot of art out there of 5-year-old kids running around.
Mm.
Is that wrong?
I guess it depends on how it's done.
This is where the debate needs to occur.
Mm.
So these were 12 and 13-year-old kids versus... So do you stop?
There's no line, and there never will be. Even discussion won't define a line. It's always going to be...
I think in a liberal society, then there would be room for... within the context of the law, which is obviously, you know, an ass, but is also reasonably interpretable only to a point.
Yeah.
Inside that context, there should be room for multitudes of views.
Mm.
Now, the heavy-handedness, I think, in this case, of the police force, who went in there and shut it down with no law, no real... law behind them, other than this might be child pornography, then, you know, it's not the police or the government's choice to determine what that is. It's the law's authority to do that. It's the judiciary's authority to do that, not the enforcement branch or the legislative branch.
No, because, I mean, we also stop people who may murder someone or may steal something, you know.
Do we stop?
Well, maybe not stealing, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, do we stop someone do we just arrest someone because they may murder?
No,
we don't.
No,
that's the thing. We don't.
But on the other hand, we do
arrest people who are dangerous,
or we restrict them in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
We restrict them. So I understand. I get your point, but unfortunately, the police do enforce laws outside of the judiciary as well.
But the police also enforce. In some ways, are an instrument of government as well.
Oh, look, they're the enforcement body of the government. That's it.
And the clear line that came out of the Herald, which has been the organ that's been promoting this, has been that there was a very clear link between the furor raised about it on talkback radio.
Oh, yes.
And the actions of the police.
Mm.
Now, we could get into an argument about censorship. We can get into an argument about free speech. Those things are just simple as, I mean, they're complex ads.
Yeah,
but my issue here is the fact that, as an Australian society, now this has been declared smut.
Mm.
Now, the Prime Minister of this country has stood up and said, it's smut. It's disgusting.
Well, let's call it what it is, right?
Okay, I'll use the exact words.
Potentially, I won't use it. You use the words there. Because smut's a quite lenient word.
The word that... Oh, no, actually, I don't actually have the exact quote from
but
Rudd.
It doesn't matter what Rudd said, called it disgusting. It's got nothing to do with Rudd. Yeah. It's got to do with whatever the police decided it was. We're assuming that it was shut down because it's potentially child pornography. Is that right?
The exact words that the police used... actually, they didn't. Actually, they cancelled the opening. All the police went in, and the local area command from Rose Bay cancelled the opening. They didn't arrest anybody.
Yeah, right.
So this is the other thing.
And no one will be charged.
No one, like they didn't arrest. What right do they have to just shut an opening down?
Actually, they can.
If they've got a real problem, go and arrest the artist.
No, see, this is the thing. What they can actually
the opening is people coming to view it. So
that's
right. They could have been stopping people from viewing what they thought was
They can actually do that. See, they can't actually charge him with something because he may not have done something wrong.
Hmm.
But they can actually...
He took the photos, though.
Yeah. No, I know that. Sure. I know that. But the thing is you can, it's like, you know the public order?
Yep.
Public order, so you can stop people from assembling.
Hmm.
You can actually stop certain things, so you can stop certain meetings. Like the sedition laws, you can stop certain meetings of certain organisations.
Oh, and I'm sure that's under those sort of extended police powers.
Exactly.
It's not under the existing, but it's under the new extended police powers.
It doesn't mean they're illegal, it just means that they can stop the assembly. Mm. So maybe they would thought within the assembly there's something wrong.
Mm. I don't know. Look,
of people whose main aim is to sit there and ponder at artwork, could be, you know, that sounds like an issue to me, pondering it potentially child pornography.
I also don't necessarily know. I mean,
but shouldn't the argument be not about whether people are going to be pondering at it, but whether it is child pornography? Isn't that the debate?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know what? Arrest the guy, charge him, and then send it to a court.
Now the reason, but
rather
the
than in it, like it's almost like they're acting like judge, jury, and executioner.
Mm. I get your point. It's a good point. But on the other hand, the thing is, they can't arrest him. And the problem is, the media can't actually talk about it as much as they want to because it becomes defamation.
Yep.
If the media talk about him too much or the photos too much, it becomes defamatory. So they probably can't explore the issue as much as they want to.
True. But to me, this whole thing comes back to...
But we have, for some reason.
Yeah.
No, but we haven't talked about him.
Yeah, I know.
It comes back to, we can't have the debate. The debate's already been had.
Yeah.
The debate has been had. There was one day of talkback, which is we know is noted for its right-wing free thinking perspective. So there's been one day of talkback.
Mm.
The police have acted, and the Prime Minister has come out and said that it's disgusting, it's not art, and blah. So the debate's over. That's our debate. That is the debate we are going to have. It's done.
Mm.
Because it's very similar to what happened on Big Brother, and I'm not going to justify Big Brother in any way as an artistic art, as an art form, but the moment Howard came out and said, take this shit off television, it's wrong, Big Brother has been on a downward spiral, they took shows off air, the public wasn't allowed to have a debate. Now, the argument always is, the public has a debate when they vote.
Mm.
That's their debate. Well, it's not, because ultimately, this is a debate. Issues of censorship, and it is an issue of censorship in this case, issues of censorship, issues of freedom of expression and freedom of speech should be a debate amongst the public, not amongst heavy-handed police. Prime Minister's wanting to appear vaguely populist, in my opinion.
It could just be his opinion.
It is, but I mean, but it's also a populist opinion of the more conservative parts of Australia, and of talkback radio callers, who are not representative of the other side. Now, the one quote I did read after this was there was a debate between two people. One guy said, I think this is freedom of expression. One guy went up to that guy and called him, well, you are a child pornographer. Now, how is that debate?
Mm.
It's not. It's not debate.
And the way it should happen is, I mean, who knows what happened? You said we've had the debate. The police have just done it. And as far as I'm concerned, if they had a justification to that, and they may well do that because we've just talked about it, then fine. But now something has to happen.
I agree.
There has to be a debate.
There has to be a debate now.
Or something about it. And if that happens, then I'm fine with them doing
it.
I
actually don't think there'll be a debate. I think it's the end. I think it's done. I think the gallery will just have so much pressure on them to not show these works.
And I'm so glad I took that away from all your comedy that you were doing. I apologise for
that. That's okay. No, look, I'm glad I talked about it because I was going not to because I suspect it might have been the way it went, and that's good. But there we go. If you have an opinion on this, send something to us. We want to hear about it because, I mean, we can be that organ of debate. Hmm. You know? So put something in, write to opinion@walkblackforest.org. opinion@walkblackforest.org.
I'm going to forward that to Abe Does Stand Up.
Yeah, so exactly. So get a little more. For that or send it to tchest@walkblackforest.org. Yes. One of those two. It doesn't matter. But we want to hear your opinion and we're very interested. Or post a comment on our blog, walkblackforest.org.
Mm.
Just post a comment up there and
post one that's not about penis extensions because we get a lot of those.
Yeah, we do.
Well, we appreciate them and the photos
and the free samples of Viagra.
Rather not have to do with a thousand a day.
That's exactly. So write to those opinion@walkblackforest.org or go to our website.
Cloner dog. I didn't talk about cloner dog. Can I talk about cloner dog next week?
Yeah, sure. About cloner dog next week. So we'll be back next week for show 294. Look, keep going.
Have you got anything to say? Because Pete's just been talking for half an hour.
If it walks like a duck.
Fair enough. We'll see you next week.
Is that a riddle or a conundrum?
I think it's more like Lewis Carroll nonsensical verse.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a snark?
Fish.
Tea chest.